Welcome to Real Men Connect. Are you ready to be the extraordinary man, husband, father, and leader God called and created you to be? Then get ready to receive wisdom and guidance from some of the country's most respected men of faith as you learn everything you need to know to go from good man to great man, God's way. No judgment, no shame. Just real men with real challenges seeking real change. All for God's glory.
Hey, Mighty Warriors. Today is a special broadcast of the Real Men Connect podcast. Usually when we release a podcast every week, whether it's the Real Men Check-In on Mondays or the Real Men Connect interviews on Thursdays, we never date them, because we typically pre-record the podcast a few weeks in advance. And we do that because we want the podcast to be timely, meaningful, and it shouldn't matter when you choose to listen to it. The content should always be relevant. And we trust that the Holy Spirit would do what it does to reach you with a message or interview when you need it the most. Well, this week is different. What you're actually listening to today was recorded last night. That's a first for our show, because we're going off script, so to speak. Because just 2 weeks ago from today, when you're listening to this on Wednesday, my mother, Rosemary Rowe, passed away at the age of 67. And I received the news from my sister on Thursday, which was Thanksgiving Day. Now, although the Real Men Connect podcasts have been airing regularly during my sabbatical for the past 10 or so days, the last 10 days have also been the longest 10 days of my life. As most of you know, I was born and raised in Miami, Florida, and I just returned from taking care of my mother's affairs. I've been receiving calls and text messages from friends and family, but I didn't announce it on Facebook. Because as you know, everyone on Facebook and social media, they aren't really friends. They just know you, they're acquaintances. And most of them never even knew my mother. Now, even though you may not have known my mother either, if you're listening to this podcast, I pretty much consider you closer than my friends on Facebook, because you're listening to this podcast for a purpose, for a specific reason, not just to be nosy or to compare your life to other people. You're here to get help with your life and your struggles when it comes to being a husband, a father, or just being a man. So I wanted to use today's show to do two things. One, to honor my mother, and two, to help you grow as a man by sharing what I've learned during this sad time in my life. So let's start with what I've learned. You know, Isaiah 26:3 says, "He will keep in perfect peace those who mind are steadfast towards him." And man, that verse really spoke to me, especially during this season of my life. So much so that I chose to write about it in my quiet time this morning. And this is what I wrote, and I want to share with you. What a week it's been after returning from Miami and dealing with the aftermath in life after my mother's sudden death. I've been somewhat neglecting my quiet time, but not in a rebellious way, but in a neglectful way. This verse stood out to me because we're all in search of peace, whether we're believers or not. So how do we get this peace? Well, verse 3 says, or promises, that those who keep their minds steadfast on God, he will not only give them peace, but he will keep them in perfect peace. I didn't really know what perfect peace was, but who wouldn't want that? But when I did a little bit of digging to understand what perfect peace was, I was surprised to find two words, constant and complete. Constant means continuous, never stopping. And complete means whole, lacking nothing. Wow. And God is promising us that kind of peace in and through all of our circumstances. However, God's promises usually comes with conditions, something that he requires from us, usually something requiring faith. He promised us this perfect, constant, complete peace only if our minds are steadfast. In other words, stayed, set, and focused on him. And there it is, the root of our struggles, the root of my struggles. When we're going through the tough, painful, uncertain, even dangerous times, our minds become easily distracted. Personally, my mind wanders to the future and the what ifs. But God says, keep a steadfast mind focused on him, not them or my circumstances. And God is a present God, not a yesterday or tomorrow God. He says he's I am, not I was or I will be. The scripture revealed to me that most of us as believers don't really struggle with having enough faith and believing in God. What we really struggle with is maintaining and keeping that faith when our minds come under attack from the enemy. We allow doubt, fear, regret, shame, guilt, and insecurity to enter in. And none of those things come from God. They all come from our enemy, Satan, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But need I add, he also comes to distract, discourage, and deceive. This passage reminds me that we can never have perfect peace in God if we only give him a piece of our attention some of the time. He commands us to do what Jesus did. Give him our complete, undivided, unwavering, and uncompromised attention. Why? Because we trust him, not doubt him. Now, I wrote those words in my journal, and as I went back and retraced my steps over the past 2 weeks, I asked myself today, what did I learn from this journey through grief, loss, and despair? And I came up with 5 things that I want to share with you. One is, I learned it's okay to allow yourself to grieve, to feel, to cry, to hurt, to even be mad. And it's okay to allow others to comfort you through it. See, I experienced all of these emotions, and I didn't try to suppress them, but rather to express them. Now, the second thing I learned to be intentional about my worshiping. See, on my 11-hour drive down to Miami, I was by myself, and I chose to use half of those hours listening to praise and worship music. I used this music as therapy to remind me of God's promises, to revive my spirit, and also to reestablish my hope in Jesus Christ. I learned that your heart goes where your hope is, especially in times of grief. And I use worship to focus my hope on and in Jesus Christ. Now, the third thing I learned to be honest with other people. And when I'm talking about being honest, I'm talking about with my family, with my friends, about the feelings that I was going through, that I was experiencing. See, whenever someone would check in on me and ask me how I was feeling after my mother's death, I intentionally made sure I gave them an honest answer. Not just that typical, I'm fine, I'm okay, I'm all right. Instead, I told them the truth, that today's a good day, but yesterday was a tougher day, it was a bad day. I'm feeling heavy at the moment, or will you continue to pray with me? But more importantly, I also got honest with myself about how I felt about my mom and my relationship with her. See, I wrote my mom a personal letter that I only shared with the people closest to me and those who were close to her. It was raw, it was real, and it was revealing, but I needed to do it. And the fourth thing I learned to continue to seek God. Now, I mentioned earlier that I neglected having my normal quiet times with God over the past 10 to 12 days. Now, it wasn't because I wanted to, but I was neglecting it because I found myself worrying more than I was worshiping. When I say worrying, I was being a Martha instead of a Mary, or in this case, I was a Mike instead of a Matthew. But I realized that I needed to continue seeking God's face, meditating and memorizing scripture, and praying and communicating with him, not less, but even more. Everything else was just a distraction. And finally, I learned how to honor my mother after her death. I think the only thing worse than grieving a loved one's death is grieving their spirit after they die by not choosing to live a life that glorifies their memory and glorifies God. I think it actually dishonors their memory. However, one of the things I struggled with most in losing my mom was her request not to have a funeral. She didn't want a memorial service. She didn't even want an obituary. Now, this was devastating to me personally because it seemed as if my mom was intentionally trying to be forgotten and not celebrated. But I didn't just want to honor my mother's memory by continuing to faithfully serve God and serve others through this ministry, Real Men Connect, and through this podcast. But also, I wanted to honor my mother's memory by telling her story, even if she wouldn't. So in this way, I can honor her memory without dishonoring her wishes. So if you don't mind, I'd like to share my mother's untold story with you. A few people become famous and some even infamous, but most live a life in a category that I call the forgotten in between. The forgotten in between, they never invent anything. They never cure anything or even change anything in this fallen world, including their own lives. But to an almighty and all-powerful God, that doesn't make their lives any less significant or less extraordinary. However, to the rest of the world, outside of their families, these people are typically unseen, unacknowledged, and uncelebrated. No one would even consider calling them unsung heroes because they probably don't make a lot of money or give a lot away or even break their backs to get it. They just live to survive with having enough and not wanting any more than they need. And they're okay with that. Well, that was our mom, Rosemarie Roll, who the world lovingly knew as either Ma, Mama Rose, Miss Rose, or Shorty Red. Although to many, her life was not particularly remarkable or awe-inspiring. To her children, though, her life was nothing short of amazing. Not because of what she achieved or accomplished, but rather because of what she survived, overcame, and endured. No, I'm not talking about your typical rags to riches, pull yourself up by the bootstrap story of overcoming poverty, earning a college degree and retiring from a great job with a pension. Rosemary Rose's story was so much more than that, so much more significant than that, so much more God-revealing than that. And her story can only be understood and appreciated from an eternal perspective. Although she loved to write and loved to read, ironically, she never wrote about her own story. Even those who loved her and knew her best only managed to get bits and pieces of it during their abbreviated season of time with her, because the pain and torment of her past only allowed her to share what she could forgive or could no longer bear under the weight of her despair. Since I was a generational recipient of one of her most amazing gifts, her ability to write, my gift to her now is to share her story, at least the parts I know that she never wrote about or was willing to share with the world. Standing only 4 feet, 11.5 inches, and she would always remind you of that half inch, her height stood in stark contrast to the incredible obstacles she had to overcome as a woman. While most people are historically defined by their achievements, her life, even if unfairly, will always be measured by the obstacles she had to overcome and the pain she had to endure. She was the daughter of a Bahamian man who had 12 children, 6 from a previous marriage and 6 from her mom, who died when she was only a teen in middle school. Her mom's 6 children all lived in a 2-bedroom home, less than 900 square feet, with a makeshift added-on bedroom and 1 bathroom. Her mom and dad slept in one room, and she and her 2 sisters slept in another, while her 3 brothers slept in the room her dad had built. Her life, unfortunately, was defined more by her battles and losses rather than her victories and triumphs. Not only did she lose her mother while she was still in middle school, she later lost her dad when she was only 26 years old. But by this time, the 2 children she had out of wedlock by age 17 were only 10 and 9 years old. I was the oldest. Although my sister and I had the same father, he was no longer in our life, or hers, by the time I was 2 years old. But our mother lost a lot more than her innocence and virginity to our dad. She would soon lose something we don't think she would ever fully recover from. Shortly after having my younger sister, she got pregnant from another man while she was still in a relationship with our dad, who was serving in Vietnam. She naively gave up her 3rd child, a daughter, for adoption after our dad promised to marry her if she obediently agreed. He never fulfilled that promise. Instead, he married another woman with the same first name as hers, but now legally had his last. I can't begin to imagine what she was mentally or emotionally going through as an 18-year-old mother of 2, without a mom, without a husband, and now without a child who she naively gave away in the name of love, but eventually sent her on a spiral of depression, anger, alcoholism, and physical abuse that she unconsciously aimed towards her 2 small children. After dropping out of high school at 17 to take care and provide for her children, losing her dad at the age of 26 was the metaphorical straw that broke her emotional back. As hard as she tried to live with her new reality, she mentally struggled to keep her grip while raising the only 2 people who were emotionally keeping her alive. So she willingly allowed her deceased mother's best friend to help raise her daughter, and trustfully allowed a family member of the man who abandoned her to help raise her son. And both people eventually did more damage to her children than good. We're talking emotionally, verbally, and physically. Little did anyone know she would spend the next 40 years of her life fighting her guilt and shame, forgiving her betrayers and abusers, and figuring out how she could ever trust anyone again, including herself and those she loved. The part of her life worth celebrating now wouldn't be obvious to the average person who measures success based on achievements, accomplished, or accolades. No, her life can only be and should only be measured by God's amazing grace towards her and her children, in spite of her mistakes, missteps, and mistreatment by others. Because in spite of her struggles, hurt, pain, trauma, and personal tragedies, what she will be remembered for most by those who knew her best was her love for her Savior Jesus Christ, her willingness to help those less fortunate than she, and how proud she was of her children. She would be the first to admit that she failed to mend a lot of broken relationships. She lived far below her God-given potential, and she made a lot of mistakes she wished she could undo. However, she would humbly be the last to take credit for leaving behind 2 children who she introduced to Jesus Christ, who she also taught to love and take care of one another, and who she taught to sacrificially love and serve others, especially the overlooked, ignored, and the forgotten in between ones just like her. And if that's not a success story that should be told and remembered, then what kind of story is? So Rosemarie Rolle, a.k.a. Ma, Mama Rose, Miss Rose, and Shorty Red, may you finally rest in heaven in the peace you struggled so hard to find here on earth. You were loved, you will be missed, and you will never, ever be forgotten. So that's the special Real Men Connect podcast for this week, and I hope that it blessed you. But don't worry, we'll be back next week to resume our regular format of our show with a new guest, with new insights and new lessons, so make sure you don't miss it. And if you like today's show, as special as it was, please do us a favor, and this is so important. Take about 30 seconds to go over to iTunes and rate the program for us, because it's the best way to help us get this program in the hands, ears, and hearts of men just like you. And please don't keep us a secret. Share us with your friends. So until next time, I'm Joe Martin, your man builder with RealMenConnect.com, reminding you that we are males by birth, but we are men by choice. So each and every day, choose to be the man God called and created you to be, because a male is a terrible thing to waste. So until next time, stay strong, stay blessed, and stay in God's grip.
Thank you for listening to the Real Men Connect podcast with Dr. Joe Martin. Real Men Connect isn't just a podcast. It's a mission, ministry, and movement to help good men become the great men God called and created us to be. And the best is yet to come. So if you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and leave us a review in iTunes. It really helps us to build the podcast and to reach, teach, and impact more men, all for the glory of God. And make sure you check out realmenconnect.com to get our free tools and resources to help you go from good man to great man God's way. Again, that's realmenconnect.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next episode.
Real Men Connect is a listener-supported podcast, and we're now the number one radio podcast on iTunes for Christian men. If this podcast has blessed you in any way and you'd like to help us continue to bless and transform the lives of even more husbands, fathers, sons, and leaders, please prayerfully consider supporting this ministry. Just go to realmenconnect.com and click on the donate button. And may God bless your faithful giving.